tell you that within everyone there is an inkling that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday and begins the Passion Week. We're going to focus this morning on the name of the one man that was willing to go through all that we will look at in the coming 2 weeks. But what does the Bible say about his name? What is so special about his name? First of all, it says that his name is the only one by which we can have salvation. Chapter 4, verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Peter, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, spoke those words to the elders of the Jewish faith when he and John were brought in for questioning because they were spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. It is only through the name of Jesus that we can be saved, because he and he alone was worthy to be the ultimate sacrifice for the remission of our sin. This truth is reiterated in 1 Corinthians 6:11. But you, Paul had been talking about sinners, well, types of sinners that will never make it to heaven. But he says, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. John, the beloved apostle, also tells us this in John 3:18. We all remember John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know that verse, most of us backwards and forwards. But whoever believes in him, it says in 3:18, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So we know that it is only through the person and the name of Jesus that we can be saved. What else does the Bible tell us about the name of Jesus? The Word of God tells us that there is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself told his disciples in John 13 and 14, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And there's a whole other sermon that I talked about the caveats and the way in which that was presented. So, but he's telling you, you ask in my name, I'll do it. That is a lot of power, isn't it? I love that song out. I remember Margaret. I was surprised Margaret knew this song, because it's pretty new. But the song that says, the mountains that are in my way will be removed. And it's all in the name of Jesus. Let's take a look at that power put into practice by the disciples. A man who was lame from birth was begging outside one of the temple gates, and had no idea that his life would forever be changed because of one name. Acts 3, 6-7 says, and Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He was born lame. The man began leaping and jumping, and the people were amazed by this. But Peter, being that extrovert, I'm going to talk first and think later kind of guy, I like it for that. He goes on this, what we call this nowadays, what we call this a rant. But in Acts 3, 12-16, he goes on this rant. He says, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let it go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. And he keeps going. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. What a beautiful story. And I do find it humorous that he gets very pointed in his guilt trip sermon, right? He's looking right at it. There's a lot of people out of congregations all over the world that think preachers, when they've got something going on in their life that they think nobody else knows about, and the preacher talks about something, they will swear the pastor was looking them right in the eye when they were preaching that thing. Well, in this case, Peter was. He was looking those elders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the scribes, he was looking them right in the eye and said, you did it. But the name of Jesus is stronger. And it wasn't just healing that was accomplished through the name of Jesus. There was more power in his name. Jesus, you know, I've read the Bible through, I don't know how many times now, but can you believe that I actually missed this before somehow? That Jesus, in the first part of the chapter of Luke 10, he appointed 72 other disciples. I missed this. When you think of disciples, don't you think of the 12 apostles? Right? There's a difference between the word apostle and disciple. Jesus preached to all of his disciples, even on the Sermon on the Mount, when there were 5,000. Most of those people were disciples. They followed him everywhere. And he sent 72 of these disciples out to the towns and places that he was going to be going to, ahead of him. Isn't that what kind of what Danny does? When you send somebody gets there and he starts preparing the pastor and the church for a revival. You know what Craig was telling me? The churches get prepared for a revival. This is what Jesus was doing. He was sending the 72 out to prepare them for his presence. And they came back. Look at Luke 10, 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. I often hear a lot of healers, faith healers and stuff tell me, you hear them say, well, they didn't have enough faith. Listen, these 72 disciples were astonished that what they did worked. God is not limited by your lack of faith. That's what I love. That God has said, Lord, I believe, and help thou man believe. He knows your weaknesses, and he's not limited by your weaknesses. And the 72 said, wow, even the demons come out of folks when we use your name. People, let me tell you something. The power of Jesus, the name of Jesus, has power over Satan and his demons. You do not have to stand there and be kicked all day long by Satan telling you that you are less than what you are, that you are nothing, that you're nothing but a sinner and that's all you'll ever be, that you don't have the skills or whatever to use for that ministry, that you are, why in the world are you doing this? You don't have to listen to that stuff. Because Jesus, get away from me. If you belong to Christ, the name of Jesus is a mighty weapon against the powers of darkness. Satan and his demons must submit to the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has already beaten them. The war's over. We've got all these little skirmishes going on, but Satan and his demons know the thing's over. You know, I'm pretty sure that Satan can read. And he may not want to believe the end of the story, but it's there for him to look at. He knows he's already been defeated. And he wants to take every one of us down with him that he can. He wants to destroy Christians' marriages. He wants to destroy their witnesses. He wants them to feel like failures. He wants you to be disgraced and to feel unloved, to feel alone, and to feel empty. That's what Satan wants. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I know there are people here that feel alone sometimes, that feel like they're just not worth what God will want to do for them, what God's already done for them. But see, that's Satan talking to you, telling you something that the Bible teaches is not right. It's true that I'm not worthy of heaven, but he is. And because of that, he has claimed me. And he's claimed you. So don't let Satan keep telling you all this other junk. It's not worth it. You tell him in the name of Jesus and resist him. The Bible says to resist Satan and he will flee from you. James, the brother of Jesus, tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10, 12 through 13, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't care what you're going through. If you call on the name of Jesus, you can know that you're not alone. I just saw this Facebook entry. I think it was by the pastor from Long Beach. And said, you know these footprints in the sand, you know, it's where I walk with you. And he said, these other lines are the ones where I drag you kicking and screaming. Sometimes it seems like that, doesn't it? But there's power in the name of Jesus. And there are blessings in the name of Jesus. We use the name of Jesus correctly far too seldom. I remember Pastor Craig actually telling us in a class that we don't use the name Jehovah or Yahweh nearly as much as we ought to. I think the Israelites made a mistake in making it so holy, thinking of it as so holy that they weren't even allowed to use it. You know that Jehovah isn't even spelled out, the nouns are taken out. We have no idea what it actually sounds like. Yahweh, YHWH in our English, and we don't know which vowels for sure belong where. We're kind of guessing. But it's the name of God. And he gave that to his people for a purpose. Why would God give his name to his people? Wouldn't he give it to them to use for power? The same is true of Jesus. The name of Jesus should be on our lips for every decision we make and every trial that we face. The name of Jesus should be on our mind far more than it is. If it were, if the name of Jesus were constantly in your mind, and on your lips, you just might react a little bit differently when you're just driving us. And they will. We might just react a little bit differently when our bosses tell us to do something, but they don't give us the tools to do it with. We might act just a little bit differently when that Jehovah's Witness people knock on our door right in the middle of my nap every time. I don't know what the deal is, but they hit me right about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the name of Jesus. Earlier I said that I believe that everyone has an inkling that Jesus is who he says he is. One day, the gospel of Jesus Christ will have been spread over on the earth. And as I've said before, I don't know that that is what has been portrayed through Christianity as a means of mission work. I don't know that that's the way it is. Revelation tells us that an angel will proclaim the name and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I have no idea how the final parts of that will be accomplished. But the name of Jesus will be known. One day, it'll spread over the whole earth. And at some point, even those who chose not to listen to that still small voice calling them to Jesus will one day shout his name. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, in your relationships with one another, here again he talks about an attitude of the name of Jesus. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. 1 week from today, they'll be remembering the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, and the people shouted his name and hailed him as king. That's the first song we're going to sing next week. Hail Jesus, you're my king. And the elders told Jesus, tell them to be quiet. And he told them if they were quiet, even the very rocks themselves would cry out the name of Jesus. One day, every knee will bow. That is every knee that has ever lived on this planet. Atheist, Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Scientologist, Jew, and Christian. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether they are bound for heaven or bound for hell. That's why it says over, it says in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every day. Jesus. Say it with me. Jesus. He gave everything for you. Jesus. He is the author of life. And he left heaven for you. Jesus. As the praise team comes, I'd like everyone to bow their head for just a moment. I don't know where you are with your relationship with Jesus, or even if you have.
have one. But he is waiting for you to answer that still small voice that's calling out to you, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Don't wait until it's too late, until you are one of those that will bow their knee and proclaim him as Lord, only to regret how foolish it was to not answer him when he called to you. Call his name.